Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, at time, at radio.com / K Thompson Live Show. I am the son, also known as Eric Payne, and you are?
I'm your mother, K Thompson. Hi, everyone, and welcome to K Thompson Live Coast Show. And we have a lot of information for you. Mal Wolfolk is back in town, and he's going to be talking about new business adventures that he's involved with. As a matter of fact, if you want to talk to Mal, we may open the phones tonight. What do you think, Eric, about us opening up the phones? Is that a possibility after we find out about Mal? Yeah. So anyway, and then, of course, Wayne Gilman, who is the former news director at WLRB, and also Byron Saunders. And he is also one of our co-hosts here. And so then I'm going to turn it back over to Eric and leave you guys and listen and see what I can find out.
All right, great. Thanks, everybody. I'm going to open up and welcome our resident guest, as my mom said, Byron Saunders. Byron, how are you doing
today? Well, it's a night in paradise. You know, we continue to enjoy the blessings of summer heat. And so I'm okay. How about you guys? You're enjoying the summer?
Yeah, you know, we don't live in New York City, so we're not in that train pain situation going on over there. And we wish all our New York brethren and sisterin, hang in there. Be strong, is what I say, you know.
That's right.
There's something special going on over there, my brother. You know, this is what happens when people don't spend money on infrastructure, right?
So that is correct.
That is, you know, and this is what our previous real president was trying to do, get people to spend money on infrastructure and make the lives of the average American better. And, you know, those same people that are probably feeling pretty embarrassed right about now that with the horse they decided to bet on, you know, are probably regretting that they didn't do it, because clearly I would say very little is getting done to hurt the average, to help the average American, Freudian slip. It's hurting the average American. Let's welcome also our co-host, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Wayne, is that you? 917? Maybe that's a listener. Listen, I'll turn your mic off. I don't think that is Wayne Gilman's phone. So we'll put the listener on hold for un momento. Byron, you know, we got, like my mom said, we're going to have Mal Wolfolk is going to come on and discuss his business that he has happening. And also, too, you know, I can't resist it. I know you can't resist it. I know you, like myself, is chomping at the bit because Trump Jr. is following brilliantly in his dad's footsteps. And this is, I wouldn't say it's the gift that keeps giving, because it's really making our country look really silly that we have these individuals, these criminals, that are sitting in the driver's seat for America, so to speak. And you have these guys willing to do anything, these traitors willing to do anything to enrich their pockets and enrich their own personal goals, and not care at all about the average American or really about America, period, right? And the videotape came out today with Trump at this guy's at the little party over there, the Miss Universe party with the Russian pop star and his pops, who was Trump's partner in the Miss Universe pageant, and they were over there hanging, claiming that they didn't know nothing about Russia, didn't know nobody. Let's see, welcome Wayne Gilman, see what he thinks. Wayne Gilman, is that you?
Dr. Eric Payne, how you doing? How's everyone?
Everybody's fine here, man. How are you? We got Brother Byron.
I'm listening to what you're saying, and I just find the whole thing a spectacle. And I had a chance, not to say that he needs any further promotion, but I was watching Stephen Colbert last night, one of the funniest programs I've seen in a long time. I don't know if he had Scarborough on and his soon-to-be wife, Mika. And I'm not a big fan of Joe Scarborough. I mean, even when he was in Congress, you know, I always thought he was, like, somewhat in the middle, but you know, the deal is that if I'm going to lean Republican, it's going to be sort of like a Reagan Republican, a Lincoln Republican type, that sort of thing. But he said some things that are so telling about the Republican Party, is that they are not stepping up and acknowledging and speaking out against Trump about the racism, about the blatant disrespect that he has, the misogynistic ways, and this nonsense about you know, the Russian probe being a witch hunt. It's to me, it's garbage, you know. And it's all right for his son to go on Fox and be on for an hour with one of his staunch supporters, who is biased to begin with, Sean Hannity. There's no balance there. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's a spectacle, you know, and I hope that Congress will call him to testify about his, because as far as I'm concerned, whether they feel there's no smoking gun or not, to me, there's enough ammunition out there to prove that there was some stuff that was done just totally off the charts and inconceivable.
Well, a couple of things to that, and Byron, chime in anytime you want, man. You got something to say about it. Just wanted to say, somebody told me that Joe Scarborough, when he was in Congress, was a backbencher.
Congress, yeah.
Meaning that he never passed any legislation, never really got anything substantial done. That's what they throw around, that phrase down there, with somebody who's just a lot of talk, but they never really accomplish anything. So, but also to me, I would use stronger words. Were it my show, were it the Eric Payne show, and just us sitting around, but since it's my mom's name on it, I think Joe Scarborough and Mika are full of it, because they gave Donald Trump a whole lot of business and airtime when he was running in the primary, and even say they were his friends and hung out at Mar-a-Lago. So now you're in a beef with your friend, so, and your friend is, you know how he is, he goes crazy, right? So now all of a sudden you're all appalled at how he's going. That's a lot of poppycock, to quote the other president.
Trump, tricky dick. Yeah, I hear you.
Really sounding like. I mean, you know, all of a sudden you're mad at him. Get out of here. You were having him on the show anytime he wanted. Trump was calling up all these shows. They were all like, "Oh, Mr. Trump is on the line. Let's talk to him." Why? This guy's an idiot. They're all talking to him. So the later for Nika and Joe, later for them. They're full of it. And she never represented really Democrats all that well. Every time I looked on the show, she was looking at Joe, like, oh, isn't he wonderful? Like Laura Petrie looking at Rob, like like the way Mary Tyler Moore used to look at Dick Van Dyke.
You're dating
Rob.
Yourself, Eric.
That's okay, because Mika used to be like, oh, Joe, almost wanted to say, isn't he so cute? He's so wrong. Get out of here. Come on, man. And then now you're going to be mad at the guy because he calls you out?
If I might, I mean, I have to give you credit on that. I'm not in the habit of watching them all the time, and that's probably one of the reasons why I don't watch them, because it's there's an agenda there, and how NBC allows that to go on, you know, speaks volumes about the corporation by itself. But the bottom line is that, as you said, he was not a straight shooter. He's always had a hidden agenda. I think Joe Scarborough wants to be the next Elvis, you know? And, you know, he'll probably retire once he marries that young lady and talk about family values. She was happily married until they started working together. So,
yeah, that's
you know.
Wasn't she married? You know,
she was living up here in Bronxville, and she separated from her husband, you know. And I mean, I'm not a saint, so I don't know anybody going into my history. But the bottom line is that the deal is, as you said, you got to be wrong and strong and stand up for the hot sauce when it comes at you. You know,
yeah, when you put
you
it
can't
out
just
there,
have it
I mean,
both
I can,
ways.
I could tell all the pictures. I mean, we get a little gossipy, but I could tell all the little promo pictures they were taking, like they were a little rock duo or some kind of craziness. I was like, whoa. I just couldn't stand to hear Joe Scarborough always talk the Republican line all the time, and her just looking at him like, oh, he's so cute, and those other, I don't watch it. And I turned Colbert off last night when those two came on. What do you think, Byron?
Well, I think the interesting part about what's going on now is with all of the Trump stuff, obviously, is he doesn't even recognize he's being hung out to dry. Clothespinned is what I call it, because the evidence that's necessary to engage articles of an impeachment, which, by the way, a Democratic senator formally introduced legislation into the House calling for the impeachment of Donald Trump. So that is in motion as of this afternoon. But the thing is that with the investigation that's ongoing, every little piece, and let's be very clear, intelligence divisions, the 17, have evidence to conclusively convict and charge of treason and collusion. And the way they are dripping it out, clothespinning him, piece by piece by piece, so that there will be no doubt when the final piece is laid into place, there will be no reasonable doubt whatsoever that there was treason committed. And they're coming extremely close to that line right now, where indictments are about to be brought forward, subpoenas of records have already been issued, and criminal warrants will be the next thing coming forth. So that's why Mitch McConnell specifically did not release his senators and congressmen for the 4th of July break, because he knew that once that break was earned, they were going to catch hell back in their districts. And when they came back to Washington,
they're still going to catch hell.
They're still catching hell. But right now, Mueller and the rest of the investigatory committee that he's heading up with the FBI are literally, they're building a strong case. So there's no turning back now.
Byron, wanted to ask you, if you don't mind, and I'm just this one intrusion, Eric. What did you think of Donald Trump, or both of you, what did you think of Donald Trump's attorney, who has had a history of representing mob figures, including Christie?
Yeah.
His take on what happened.
Yeah, but you see right now, think of this. Jared Kushner and Donald Jr., 2 weeks ago, denied all of this, what's going on. So you have to think within Trump's inner circle, and this is in the war room, in their own war room, their attorneys are saying, I'm advising, the consigliere is telling them now, I am advising you to admit what's out there, because the government has pertinent information that will clean your blocks out. And if you don't admit it, you're going to be brought up on charges of perjury, collusion. You still are going to have to face that, because your public statements are indicting you. So the war room is already acknowledging, and this is the other part that's interesting, Wayne and Eric and Kay, is that the denial of any of this act of collusion at the point is right now, that is the only defense that they have, because for Trump to admit to the world that the Russians hacked our system is to say that he was unfairly elected. He can't.
Thank you.
He's in a corner. He is in a corner.
Well, and
Pence ain't too far behind.
They're kind of in a circular firing squad, too, a little bit there. You know, you said something interesting, Byron, about the piece-by-piece drip-drip of the information, which is what Trey Gowdy came out and said today. That they should come out, said the other day on Fox, that they should just come out and admit everything they know about Russia. To quote Trey Gowdy, he said, come out and let us know from the time you saw Dr. Zhivago to the most recent time you had a shot of vodka with someone named Boris. List all of that. And just recently, I saw on the news a little while ago that Jared Kushner, his crew, they revised his form, that security clearance form, in light of Donald Trump's emails revealing that Jared Kushner was in the room yet another time.
That's exactly right.
So you said something interesting about the Mueller and those guys, because, you know, first of all, let me backtrack a little bit. When you start messing with those intelligence guys, they don't like that. He also impugned their integrity, all of the agencies. So they got it in for him, right? And also a lot of these people, the rank and file people, who really get no credit, they get no notoriety. You're impugning every intelligence person's integrity when you suggest the things that Trump has suggested. So I'm wondering if when you said something that piece by piece, it kind of hit something in my head saying that maybe that's what you have to do so the American public can digest the information, right? So then let it come out piece by piece. Let it be out there and simmer. Let everybody mull it around, those that have an ear to hear, the religious folks say, and those that are halfway intelligent that can think independently other than, you know, those mindless people who are going to be for Trump regardless because they have an ulterior motive to make this country back to what it used to be. And so you need to let the average American who probably couldn't, we know that most people couldn't point out a picture of the vice president, much less Robert Mueller. We need to let the average American let it sink in a little bit because, you know, some of us, you know, you got those like that demographic, that non-college educated demographic that blindly voted for them. You know, you kind of need to let it sink in for those guys, you know, let their health care get threatened to be taken away, which is like you said, Byron, why they aren't going to let the why McConnell's not going to is delaying their recess 2 weeks. Also, I think it might be an opportunity for the Democrats to have a little bit more influence in making a deal about the health care situation, right? I would think there's any number of things that could happen. But also, one of you guys said something about the Republicans. They're not going to step up to the plate. I mean, a few of them, Trey Gowdy, they're going to say some things, but they're not going to take any action about doing anything. They might acknowledge that Trump is a little bit wrong at doing things, and you have your Lindsey Graham out there who asks these very pointed questions. But for the most part, those of them that are not in safe districts and don't have this rock-solid support of their people, their constituency, they're not going to come out and they're going to save their butts before they save the country. You rest and believe that, right?
Well, I tell you, Eric, it seems like as if, you know, from all practical purposes, I just really feel that anybody analyzing this thing closely can tell that they're in trouble. And the only reason why, and this is why, and again, I'm sorry that you missed the Scarborough interview last night. This is the only reason why, because, again, I'm not in the habit of watching this guy, but what he said just seemed to hit the nail on the head. And the Republican Party just does not seem to get it. They're just so happy that they have control of the big house, you know, that
right.
they'll do it at any cost. And even at the cost of selling the country down the river, you know.
Right.
Even at the cost of having collusion with Putin, you know.
He's giving them too much credit. It's not that they don't get it. It's that they don't care. They don't care.
Yeah,
until
well, that's
them
it.
At home.
They don't care.
They don't care. And that's what I'm saying about Joe Scarborough. He's full of it. Like, they don't get it. Of course they get it. You get it. Now you get it. Now you're talking about your woman. But before 6 months ago, he was welcome to come on your show. Even though you might have disagreed with him here and there, you sure were going, like Trump said, going to he sure was down there hanging out at Mar-a-Lago and having Trump let, you know, Donald Trump. Hey, they NBC, too. You know, NBC, the whole thing. The Today Show, MSNBC, they would stop the presses when Donald Trump would call up, right? You remember? Oh, we got Donald Trump on the phone. Let's go live to him. Let's put him right on the air. Why? To hear this idiot talk idiot stuff? I don't care what this guy is talking about. But that's what they were trying to promote. They were trying to push him out there. And now when you come back and now he's jumping all over you and you can't stand it, now you ain't friends no more. Get out of here, man. I'm not
pushing
that.
Man, I tell you, it says a lot about their political philosophy, too, because I've noticed since the Trump election that even their programming has been skewed a certain way. It's not to say that they're extremely left, as they once were, but, you know, a lot of the black talent has, you know, they've been basically relegated to a certain role, certain hours. Some of the issues that were coming out during the Obama administration, you certainly don't hear that anymore. And, you know, and the funny thing is, I just as an aside, I was watching Nick Cannon, the hip-hop DJ the other day, and he said something about NBC that just really seems to hit the nail on the head because he just lost his contract. He says NBC stands for Negroes, be careful. And I tell you, I mean, and given their history with Bill Cosby, Sammy Davis Jr., Nat King Cole, I'm going back, you know,
right.
You kind of wonder.
What happened with Sammy?
No, I'm just saying they all had programs that were, as soon as that they started to get hot, all of a sudden their programs were, you know, they disappeared, you know. I mean, I was a kid when a lot of this stuff was going on, but I'm assuming a lot of it is attributable to the civil rights climate, some certain and remember, with not to disrespect his memory, I mean, he was entitled to his opinion, but Sammy Davis Jr. just had he was into the civil rights movement, but there were a lot of people out there, people of color, people who were highly critical of some of the things that he used to do just to, you know, embrace that white following that he held on to,
oh,
you
yeah.
know. And
yeah.
it's just one of those things. You know, the time that he stood there and kissed Richard Nixon, memorable to me, you know. I mean, it's just one of those yeah. things.
Right.
That's,
Wayne, that's
one of those moments you never forget.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, that's what Sammy kind of, you know, he kind of lost a little bit back then. You know, getting back to the MSNBC, you know, I can understand them starting to hire more Republicans. You know, they went after this what's-her-face from Fox. That's why Tamron left, because they gave her everything. What's her name? Megan, whatever.
Kelly.
Kelly. Oh, Megan Kelly, right? And now they got Gert, that dude, or excuse me, the lady, Greta Van Susteren, you know. So I could see them, you know, they want to see a little bit more.
She got fired.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
She wasn't on today. Why did she get fired? I'm not surprised.
Ratings.
Go ahead, Byron. You know,
it was ratings, and the she didn't mesh with Meet the Press as much as I disliked the commentator from Meet the Press. They didn't get along, and it just didn't mesh. So it was a bad move to begin with. They were trying to capture some of the Fox Network's client base, knowing that they were infrastructure within Fox was breaking down. Roger Ailes,
right.
Hannity, O'Reilly, all of that stuff has been breaking down. So they were trying to pick up the pieces. It was a bad move to begin with. They never should have had Megyn Kelly or Greta on the network and brought the ratings down. So
right.
they got what they deserved.
Right.
Exactly.
And 6 o'clock hour, you're going up against local news. Plus, as soon as I saw Greta on, I'm turning it off. I'm not watching her. And Megyn
right.
Kelly, obviously, we know what's up with Megyn. Give her fluff pieces. Let her be on. She's easier on the eyes. So I don't know what her ratings are looking like in it, but I can imagine 7 o'clock on a Sunday, people are probably
up against
watching
60 Minutes.
Press.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, not going to happen, right? So, you know, who wants to watch her anyway? I mean, I remember when she went on a little tirade talking about, don't worry, kids, Santa Claus is not black. And, you know, I don't know if you remember that statement she made when some people were trying to have a multicultural Santa Claus. And so I don't really, you know, I mean, they tried, you know, I'm not mad enough for trying to capture some of the Republicans, some of the Republican audience. So they seem balanced, but no, not those two. And they
My thing is, Fox does not do anything to show that they're balanced, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Well, I mean, that is the issue. This is, you know, to me, a lot of what goes on is about advocacy in this business today. You know, when your mother and I were working at LIB, we had a particular slant, and I still think to this day, and I quote my former general manager, David Lampel, who always felt that Roger Ailes stole what black radio was doing to promote a certain agenda and took that idea and put it before white people to say, we're going to promote our own agenda. You know?
Right.
How do
right.
these How dare these black folks elect a black president or black governor, or a black mayor? You know, I mean, that sort of thing.
Well, you know, Wayne, you may recall that before Roger Ailes became the president of Fox Network, Fox TV had a black general manager in Will Wright. He ran a good shop, but when Roger Ailes and his crew came in, that's when they started turning Fox Network, Channel 5, Channel 9, to the right wing.
Gotcha.
Will Wright now.
And whatever happened
NBC
to Will Wright? Because he's a name I hadn't heard
but
from in a while.
But I do recall that's what happened. And they intentionally took it down that road. So it wasn't as if Rupert Murdoch did a FCC in the New York, New Jersey area a big bad deal. That FCC license never should have been granted.
Mm-hmm.
But it was. And it now look what they've got.
Exactly.
And ultimately, I just released 2 days ago the pay scale for the stars on Empire, and let's be real, Empire was bringing back a black audience back to Fox TV. But it was just revealed 2 days ago that the black stars on Empire are not even getting close to what the white stars are getting on a Fox network.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, because lately I have a little family member who's an attorney and just got picked up by them, and I thought things were suddenly changing. You know,
pay disparity has always been there between black and white performers.
That's right.
You know, and black performers of color. I mean, you just had the two Asian stars leave. They left the Hawaii 5-0 because they weren't being paid as much to fight counterparts. Now, you know, also too within the entertainment industry, you know, someone's the star of the show, they might get more money than people who aren't the stars of the show. That's understandable. But if everybody comes in and nobody's really a star, you know, how do you base it on? I guess you base it on who has more of a broader appeal. And if you have a majority white audience, then the white guys are going to Scott Kahn, James Kahn's son, and the other white dude who was pretty much unknown. I think that the two Asian people were probably a little bit more well-known than those guys.
Daniel Day Kim and the girl, as far as I'm concerned, you know, they are worth the price of the ticket. They make the show. I mean, just looking at her gets my attention for a whole hour, you know.
Right.
And they're both brilliant actors, you know. I mean, no wonder. I mean, to me, there's no disputing this. They should be paid equally.
Yeah. I mean, you got the little white girl talking about trying to get equal pay, Emily, whatever her face is. And, you know, they don't even pay the women equally. So, and you know, they don't even pay the black women equally.
Eric, you mentioned something at the top of the show, which I found really interesting. I'm not sure if we can steer it that way, but basically the issue with the MTA and the real big mess up at Penn Station.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Going back to another figure whose ratings have tanked to below even Trump's is your governor, Christie.
Yeah.
And that debacle was because he steered that money away from the MTA project to do repairs on the tunnels. And that money was already in place. But he said, no, we're not going to go and come and meet MTA and what budget the Albany was doing. And so now you've got that infrastructure that's crumbling, and those three derailments and what's happening that's got all of the Penn Station traffic coming and going in such a mess is as a result of the bad governorship in Trenton, New Jersey. And Chris Christie is as big a blame as any for what's going on with the problems in transportation and Penn Station in New York City.
I agree with you, Byron. I mean, to me, this has been something that has been overlooked to a certain extent because, you know, he's come on with this bravado whenever he's asked to give a comment about what happened. I'm protecting the residents of New Jersey. And then for some reason, he seems to have curried favor with Cory Booker T. Washington there in the U.S. Senate that, well, it's a non-issue. I mean, what Christie did, it is the issue. He blocked that tunnel from being continued. You know, and that to me, you know, I'm not saying it would have been built tomorrow, but at least 2 years ago when he discontinued that, at least there was an effort being made. They'd already broken ground to dig out, you know.
That's right.
So I don't know.
He's nothing but a blowhard, a bully, and he's not really the bully that he claims. Obviously, a guy that talks as much trash as he talks. He could never back it up in a real life case scenario, obviously. But and speaking of him, obviously his boy David Wildstein today got a parole.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, he got probation. He doesn't have to go to jail. And here they jammed up those citizens of Fort Lee so bad they claim that somebody lost their life for some because I think that there was a claim that somebody lost their life because some people some ambulances couldn't get to the people they needed to get to. So they might have claimed that they lost their lives, you know. So
yeah. And I tell you one thing, Eric, and speaking of lost life, not to digress again, but the one incident this past week that really bothered me was the shooting of the Latino police officer here. She was elevated to detective. You know, Familia, Mia Soto Familia. Just, you know, I was listening to the commissioner speak yesterday, and to me, there should have been just as many people out there demonstrating because there is a problem here in New York. And I think the problem has a lot to do with the crisis of homelessness and a lot of people who are, you know, basically not under the radar screen as they used to be with respect to their issues of mental health. And, and this is going back to the time when Mario Cuomo was governor and decided that, you know, we need to balance the budget by releasing these people from these facilities and let them, you know, fend for themselves in the public under some modicum amount of supervision. And it's just out of hand now.
Yeah, let me put
you know,
a pin in that.
I'm sorry, you know. It
right.
That life matters.
Hold on for a second. Hold on, yeah, and it didn't matter, and certainly as it pertains to African-Americans in terms of health, but let's see if I think we've got Mal Wolfolk here. Mal, is that you? Are you on the line, Mal?
Yes. Yes, I'm here with Alvin Hartley.
Oh, my goodness.
Didn't know that was you. Okay. So, Mal, we got Byron Saunders and Wayne is here, and you're calling in to talk about a new business that you're involved in. Mr. Mal Wolfolk, brilliant businessman, also a member of the WLIB family as well, and also a club entrepreneur. I used to hang at one of them clubs back in the day that you and your partners used to operate. So, and what is?
Thank you for the memory.
Of course, of course. What's the new venture and new business that you are pursuing or that you're into now?
Well, yeah, and you know, first of all, you know, I'm going to salute the show as I always do, and all the participants, Darren, you, Eric, Kay, and Wayne, who's been a participant from the beginning on your insightful analysis and comments about the news, always on point.
Thank you all.
Feel free to give your. I know you have some thoughts. So feel free to chime in there as well. I didn't know that was you at a 917 number because I would have surely engaged you in the conversation, but feel free at any time that you want to talk about it.
Okay, well, I thank you. I'm going to stay on script this time, so you all get a little relief. but Alvin Hartley, I'm on the phone with Alvin Hartley, who's the managing partner for TMI and Associates, And TMI and Associates is a cooperative of businesses to provide full-scale, full-suite business solutions for small and medium-sized businesses. And when we say small and medium-sized businesses in WMBE, we're talking up to $50 million a year. So essentially what we have is put together over the last couple of years is a unique cooperative of business services to provide everything from incorporation all the way up to financing, and financing on some pretty big levels, $50, $60, $70, $80 million, for businesses that often can't find any response or support from other entities. And we do this, amongst other ways, by enjoying some unconventional investment banking partners as well as traditional finance partners who are unrestricted by some federal regulations and some other criteria of liquidity that often hamstring small businesses when they go to the bank where they've been keeping their money for 20 years and can't understand why they're told no. So we act as from both perspectives, but and I'll let Alvin get on since he's the managing partner and talk about it, but I'll just say for context, Alvin likes to liken TMI and Associates equivalent to a primary care physician to whom you come to have a holistic view of, in this case, your business, work with you to analyze all the things that can help your business grow and become more healthy, and then further, and uncharacteristic to any other organization we know, stick with you through the process so that you have one person who can coordinate all your business needs rather than what happens to many businesses, having to work with 7 or 8 or 10 different people who may not even know each other, much less can work in any sort of coordinated fashion for the business's benefit. And just one more reference, where often you'll find somebody has a lawyer and a CPA and a social media person and a marketing person and a this and a that, and all of them may be vying to, you know, be retained to get paid for what they do, but if they don't understand, just like in healthcare, if they don't understand the remedies and solutions for growth and the financing capabilities that their counterparts are doing, they really can't do an effective job the same way as if you're a specialist in healthcare or prescribing things according to their interpretation and not having a chance to determine whether the prescriptions are undermining each other. So with that, I'll let Alvin, whose idea this is, who came up with it, who's had his own long 50-year, 40-year innovative entrepreneurial effort from marketing to sports to small business solutions to everything. Now I'll tell you this whole story.
Now I got to give the brother a raise. Ain't that something? Now I got to give the brother a raise. I said, folks just do anything to get a bonus. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Believe it or not, guys, I'm from the WLIB family. If you guys remember, when Agent Council was there, do you remember we used to do the Black College Bus Tours?
Oh, of course, you know. Yeah. Actually, with Alvin on the phone and Mal, I need to sit down and genuflect and bow to the West. You know, I mean, this is talk about a religious event here. You know, I mean, just to hear these voices again, you know, makes me feel 15 years younger.
Better. That's all it is.
And I can tell you, Mr. Hartley, that Sidney Smalls, who you probably remember as well, was my landlord.
Sir. There you go.
Okay.
Hello.
So I knew Adrian and Sidney well.
There you go. But here's the thing that's happening, gentlemen, and let me jump into this, okay, because what's happening here, all of us are blessed because we're reinventing ourselves. Think about it now, gentlemen and ladies.
Yeah.
We're reinventing ourselves. What do I mean by that? We've been there, done that, and now we're not sitting around trying to figure out what to do. We're actually doing what we want to do, but we also have to make sure it's making money and making a living for ourselves. So you got to remember, a lot of these young people that are getting college degrees, and I'm not only talking about black people, I'm just saying these young folks, that's great you got a master's, that's great you got a PhD, that's great you got an undergrad. But can you actually lead it? Can you actually manage it? No, you can't. You're getting paid six figures, but you have no idea how to deal with diversity. You have no idea how to deal with conflict. Just because you think you know it don't mean you know how to run it. Okay?
Right.
So therefore, there are people are starting business every day. And again, I'm going to keep on going between white and black because we got white clients. I've learned so much of what's happening on the other side. I'm like, damn, I thought we were bad. I'm telling you, the stuff that we were able to learn, and the reason why you hear this excitement in my voice is because I go through this. Think about it. We knew nothing about funding, right, guys?
Right.
We knew nothing about how to move a company to the next level. We thought mergers and acquisitions was only for the big, giant company. Lie. Okay?
Right.
We didn't know
right.
how to get the money because there are multiple ways of getting money other than the bank, but no one taught us. So think about
exactly.
that. That's exciting itself. But let's take it further. Not only knowing how to get the money, it's knowing how to move the money, knowing how to actually move your business, take advantage of all the laws and the benefits are out there. No one was there to monitor us and to help us. Am I right, guys?
Mm-hmm. That's
right.
Very true.
Okay, so here we go. CMI and Partners is a full solution company. I'm going to blow you away. Have you ever heard of Costco?
Say it again.
Say
heard
again.
Of Costco? Costco.
Costco,
BJ's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, Costco, yeah right.
Right?
Walmart. Yeah.
Okay. No, let me go with Costco's and BJ. You know why?
Yes.
You hate going in there. You know why? Because you know for a fact if you go in there and you only want to spend $100, you always come out spending more money.
That's right.
Am I right?
Mm.
There you go.
Exactly.
You know, I never thought of that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Guaranteed.
Absolutely. Now, understand how it goes. You going into Costco, you walking straight to the back for the food. Am I right?
Yes.
That's correct.
But what happens is, have you ever noticed there's a couple of people in the aisle called Tasty? Think about it. Try this on for a size. Ooh, that's good. What is it? It's right here. Don't you need this for your business? You know something? I do. Well, come on, pick it up. You got me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you see, companies need tools to operate their business. You need the insurance. You need the bookkeeper. You need the CPA. You need the marketing person. You need the person to build your website. You need the credit card processing. Do I need to go down the list?
Gotcha.
All there.
You need all of that. So when you come to our company, we're the associates at Walmart. How you doing? How can I help you? Now do you understand
one-stop
how it works?
Shopping.
Yeah,
one-stop shopping.
One-stop
shopping. You direct them where they need to go. You help them with their particular need.
Exactly.
And now here's how it goes. Now, all of you and all of us been in sales and everything else, how many times folks want to tell us about their business? I don't want you to tell me. Go and fill out the form. You know what the form is? Doctor, I don't feel good. Well, I'm going to have to do your blood and x-rays. Why?
Right.
Well, I can't help you. It's going to get your blood and x-rays. Why?
Right,
why you got to
do
that? Okay. You need me to help you. I can't even begin to address your challenge until you give me the background on you. Now you got me?
Right.
So how can you ask for a $100,000 loan and your company only grossed last year $25,000? How did that figure? Now you'll get absolutely. Credit card processing.
So
you know, credit card processing is not just credit cards anymore. Think about it. When you go to CVS and all the rest of the stores, what's the first thing they say? What's your telephone number? Am I right?
Right.
What's your email?
Yes.
They're collecting data on you so they can continue to talk to you 24/7.
Well, guess what?
Right.
That's what a small business is supposed to be doing, setting up credit card processing. So not only are you able to process, get your money the next day or the day after, but you're collecting data on your customers, right?
Right.
Right.
You worrying about the fee. I'm worrying about the data. Whoever controls the data controls the world, right?
Exactly.
That's it.
That's sure to
So let's move on to the next level. Go ahead. Oh, okay, I'll take a pause for a second. Go ahead and ask the question if you want to.
Well, I'm on your Facebook page, and it's well done. It's very informative. It speaks of everything you just got through saying about the diversity of your staff and your client base. I mean, that's what people want to see. That's the first observation. And if people see that, it helps them walk you to the table so that you can secure the client and make them happy and their business needs. So, I mean, I got to give you your props on that.
Well, it was the blessing of the Lord that I got that. Okay?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Now, and this is so true. You wouldn't believe what I'm about to tell you. And I want everyone in your listening audience, I guarantee this. If you go to capstonetrade.com, I've been with this company for 3 years. It's a $120 million company, soon to be a $200 million company by the end of this year. Our company runs the diversity department for that company. I have the leverage of giving a $500,000, $1 million, $10 million, $20 million to a company, to a construction company that got a contract. A young lady could be Helen who has a product, and let's just say Walmart says, I want that product, and I need about 5,000 of those widgets, and it's going to cost Helen about $250,000 to $500,000. I put the money up for the manufacturer to produce the widget to deliver to Walmart. I take my little fee, then the balance, I write Helen the check, she goes to get another order.
So you're the shark tank.
No, I'm the factoring, purchase order financing. See, that's the thing about it. We don't know. Once we know, you're like, oh, man, you telling me I could sit here all day and just file for all bid for all these things? You win the bid? Government, city, state, I can fund you because they pay the bills. You just got to go out, shoot the bird, I'll cook the bird.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because and Alvin, we hadn't talked about this in a while, but you know, I just recently hosted a wealth building seminar in Brooklyn about 2 months ago for, I don't know if you're familiar with the Insiders Group and Haru Niket, a very knowledgeable young brother who's been trying to get people invested in, you know, straighten out with their credit and all that business, and you know, a lot of the things that I'm hearing from you tonight, I just even wonder, you know, why some people who've been in this game longer have not been able to achieve, like, what it is that you've done, you know?
Can I be honest with you? Here, my philosophy is I will go across the railroad track into the bar and sell self-insurance to the Ku Klux Klan, okay? Now, two things will happen when I come back across the railroad track. They said, what happened? I said, two things happened. What? I sold all of them, the top plan, and they want me to come back next week to meet all their family members. They're like, damn, that's great. What's the second one? Well, you know, I'm getting a high commission. They're like, yeah, you're going to make a lot of money. Well, about 75% of that is going to help put my eyes back in my sockets and take care of the broken arm that I have. You got me? But if we do not cross that track, if we do not sit in front of white folks, which not every white person hates us, that's the most stupidest thing in the world, okay? But we have to go across that track. We have to sit down in front of that person, and we got to speak the same language because they are just as hungry as we are. And you know what turns on anybody? Someone that's hungry. They need all America back. Are you hungry? Yes, I am. Will you work night and day for it? Yes, I will. When you fall down, when you get up every single day, sir, then you're my type of man. They just want hungry Americans now. And I'm hungry.
Right.
I'm beyond hungry. I'm starving.
Well, that makes two of us.
So let me get this.
I still look for the answers, man. I mean, that's
basic,
commendable, Alvin.
Right, from the very basic person who comes in, for somebody who's got a business that they're trying to take to the next level or trying to build it on, they come to you, a one-stop shop, and you do a diagnosis of where they are in their business and everything that's going on, and you can help them get to the next level or mentor them in the right direction where they need to go to take their business to that next level. Is that all of the above. Correct.
Not only mentor, but bring the components together. And I think you guys would appreciate it. Please don't write up a $1.5 million proposal to start up a business and expand the business and you have no money. Ain't nobody giving you money.
I don't care.
I don't see how good it is. Y'all need to throw that out the window. All
right?
Yeah.
Come to me with some type of sales. Come to me with some type of equity. Come to me with something. You know, if you want $1 million and if you want $1 million, you at least gotta bring, if you're starving, at least 15% of what you need.
Exactly.
Because nobody's giving you money if you ain't got no money. It ain't happening.
Well, that seems to be the problem in our community. I mean, there are a lot of us who, you know, hand to mouth. And I tell you, I mean, with all the help that the previous administration had given us, a lot of us are still stuck out there, particularly when it comes to real estate and things like that.
Alvin, I can tell you, you're so on point because I do arts management consultancy for arts groups, and I can't tell you how many times I've had to say this. Please make sure you got a business plan. Please make sure you have a strategic initiative, because when you come to this table to ask for some support, you're going to need all of that information in detail in order to just get your foot into the front door. They're not going to even entertain talking to you. And it's like it's almost like a mantra. And when they hear that, then it's like, oh, because they're always thinking that it's so easy to just get access to the funds. No, the funds are competitive. And you're walking up to an industry that's going to scrutinize and vet you to the last penny before you walk out of there with a check. And so you got
to
do it.
Can I tell you, we have to play by the rules. In our community, we have to start being honest with each other. First of all, money's not evil. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Oh, why do you always got to talk about money? No, I'm going to talk about money. Because guess what? If I have money and if you need something, I'm able to help you. If I ain't got no money, how am I going to help you? So I'm going to talk about money.
Exactly.
That's the first thing. But second of all, we have to be honest with each other. Stop talking about I'm a great artist, I'm a great this, I do great donuts. That's nice. Where the heck are the sales? Where the heck are the sales?
Yeah.
I need $1 million to make. No, you don't. You need to take your raggedy butt out there and start making a little bit of sales. Just a little bit. But you see, they don't want to be the sales. They don't want to talk to the people. They just want to do the product. Then you wait there until someone comes to you. We must be honest. We got to be honest.
That's right.
Yes. Because I'll tell anybody, I will get you the money. I will say it on your show right now. I can get anybody $1 million. It's not that difficult. I'll tell you how. All I want you to do, can you kill the fish? Just get the fish. Do I got to kill? Boy, just get the fish.
What about these things? Alvin, I don't mean to throw you off, but I'm just curious about this. What about these things you see on the internet, and I've heard this from different business people, that a lot of businesses are obligated to issue grants, the government issues grants. How available are these things that you see hawked,
y'all need to stop that. That grant, all that free money, y'all need to stop going after that free money. Go after the money that you know you can make. Forget grants. You know what grants are? Grants are, look, I got $2 million or $5 million, and you got 500,000 people standing online.
That's right.
Come on.
Okay.
Can I tell y'all something right now? Tell me something. For you, if you're New Yorkers, how many times when you were taking the subway or taking the bus on the corner, the incense guy or the socks guy or whoever was selling something, every single day they were on that corner. Am I right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you
their
know
bottom
that person
line is earned income?
There you go. Do you know if you sell socks on the corner, the first year you may make $25,000, $50,000, but after five years, you're making $100,000, $200,000 just selling socks on the corner.
Just selling socks. That's right.
Selling socks. And y'all too busy want to spend, get all that big money. You selling socks on the corner, you making more money than the person working hard all day.
That's right.
Because you want to look good. I tell you how you look good. Make the money. Go to your house. Drive your nice car. Be really not so much in debt. Do the taxes. Get the benefits. And guess what? And then take another 3 months off. But no. Y'all want to go work for the city and state. Watch how it happens now. Watch me now. You want to go work for the city and state. You retire at 50, 55. You can't get your benefit until 65. Am I right?
62,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? Now you got to go back to work for another 10 years to make income until you're eligible for your benefits if you don't die.
Right.
Am I right?
Right.
That's it.
Now watch this. You can start a business at the age of 20. In 20 years, at the age of 40, you probably could sell your business for $500,000 to $1 million. Do you really got to wait for your money?
No. I had this conversation with some friends of mine, you know. But, you know, the deal is we have to reprogram ourselves. There are a lot of us went to school, got the degrees, became credentialed, and it was all about getting good jobs and not focused on who we were working for and controlling our own destiny, you know. Some of us, I can't say all, you know. But,
well, no, it's a lot of us, brother. No, be honest. It's a lot of us. It's a lot of us. Go out, get a degree, and get a job. We got to be honest. We all want a job. There's no problem. We got to pay the bills. I'm with you. I'm not against the job because you got to pay the mortgage. You got to pay the rent. I'm into your future.
Exactly. You know.
But
if I had been like you and Mal, I would have been retired now. I just do tenants and toilets, so you know I understand.
No, brother, you're just starting. That's the beautiful thing. You're just starting. Don't you see the blessings that you have?
I see this white hair on my scalp. I in all honesty, I understand what you're saying. I mean, there's a part of me that I had a great ride, you know, back in the day. Those were the salad days. Learned a lot, met people that I probably would not have known if I had gone in a different direction. But I will say to this day that self-employment is far more important than holding somebody's job.
There's no doubt. But here's the beautiful thing that you have available to you, sir. What you have available to you is that you have the full management skill and the knowledge to go into these emerging business. They're making $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $4 million. They do not have the management skills. They do not have the organizational skills. They're making the money. You see, there's a difference, sir. There's a big difference.
Right.
You have great value, but you got to come in there like, yo, this is what you're going to pay me. This is what I'm going to do. You need to shut your mouth. You keep making the money, and let me help grow this business. If not, move on to the next person because they don't have your skills. They don't. I had a client messed up, had me go in and said, can you go fix it up? Fixed it up. She got the information, then sent the information to the client without me taking it to her and messed up the whole deal because that particular client needed to show her client that she just was all of that. I'm like, come on. Diplomacy, baby. Diplomacy.
Hey, guys, we're going to have to put a pin in it because we've run out of time, and we need more time to talk about
it. So here's the website.
Alvin, give out some numbers, man.
Yeah, give out your website. Give out your information. We got to get it out real quick.
You can go to www.tmi, that's too much information. I love that part. TMIUM.com. TMIUM.com. TMIUM.com and 347-234-5304. I repeat again, and I'll do it in my professional voice. Well, that's area code 347-234-5304. That's 347-234-5304. 234-5304. How do you like that, guys?
All right. There it is. Thank you, Alvin Hartley. TMI. We're going to have you back on and talk about this some more. Maybe we can have some workshops with some people so we can have get some business going on within our community and step
there
on.
There you go.
Thanks for the time. Alvin Hartley, thank you so much for this information, brother. We appreciate it. Thank you, Mal Wolf. Take care. Thank you, too.
Have a good night.
Thank you. The co-host, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Wayne Gilman. Thanks for
always
again.
A pleasure, Eric. Kay.
Thank
Byron.
You, resident historian, Mr. Byron Sons. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Peace and love, always.
All right. Take care, everybody. We'll see you again next week. We're out of time. Kay Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Kay Thompson Live, blogtalkradio.com/Kay Thompson Live. My name is Eric Payne, the son of Kay Thompson. Take care. Bye-bye.